Everything is on the line for Alex Pereira at UFC 300. I'm not just talking about a loss to Jamahal Hill. I'm not just talking, you know, his championship status. I'm talking a 36-year-old champion who doesn't have much longer in this sport, has maybe one more mega payday left in his career. Everything is on the line for Alex Pereira this weekend. Now, here's what I mean by that. Alex Pereira obviously is going to get mega pay-per-view points for this fight as the champion. He obviously needs his win bonus too, but this will be the biggest payday of his career. But there's another payday that could potentially eclipse this. Maybe not, but it potentially could. And that is an old rival lurking in the darkness with a win over him, Israel Adesanya. See, they fought four times already. Alex beat him twice in kickboxing, once in MMA. But Alex Pereira, after he's done with his Glover Teixeira revenge tour, he needs to set his sights back and say, hey, wait, there's one guy to beat me. Is he? Israel Adesanya beat me. And I want that back. I want to settle the score. I want the trilogy. So here's what I think the UFC is aiming to do. They want to have a giant fight. They always want giant fights. Big pay-per-views, big money. Alex Pereira needs to beat Jamahal Hill. Israel Adesanya, rumored to fight at UFC 305 in August, needs to beat Dricus du Plessis. Now, with the background that Pereira and Adesanya have in their history, let's say, oh, we got a champion versus champion matchup here. Oh, Israel Adesanya tried to take this belt already. Oh, the trilogy. It makes so much sense. He's facing Jamahal Hill, though, and that's the guy before him. And that's who he needs to concentrate on. So, if you've missed my breakdown, my film study on Alex Pereira, we talk about a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about today. The jab to the body, the difference in low kick, but we also talk about what, like I said, what makes Jamahal Hill so different, but how does Pereira deal with those different things? So, first things first, Jamahal Hill, he is the former champion. He lost his belt after he tore his ACL playing basketball. Beat Glover Teixeira for the title. Was supposed to face Anthony Smith. I don't know when that was. What was that about? Oh, Hill was rebooked for UFC 300. Duh. So I like this fight. I really do, because it answers some questions about Jamahal Hill, if he's legit or not. But Alex Pereira, with Jamahal Hill being predominantly a southpaw and somebody who switches stances, I do think Alex Pereira has the proper tools to deal with this, namely the low kick. Obviously, the low kick, the right low kick, since he's an orthodox fighter, his right leg is his power leg, and that's what he likes to smash people with. But when you're fighting a southpaw like Jamahal Hill is, you are susceptible to the left cross right up the middle. Granted, Jamahal Hill is also susceptible to the right cross up the middle because they are in that mirrored stance matchup. That said, I do think that Pereira will answer this like he did with Adesanya. Okay, so Israel Adesanya and Bruno Silva both switch stances a lot. Both of those guys go to southpaw and orthodox back and forth, mainly Adesanya. Bruno Silva, not so much, yeah, but Izzy does, right? So what we're looking at here is Adesanya, when he's in southpaw, Pereira knows not to throw that right leg. He doesn't throw the right kick. Instead, he steps up with that leg and does the step-up outside low kick. He's trying to kick the front leg at all times on the outside. And that's how he cripples people. Now, granted, this is good for Jamahal Hill because that right leg is his more powerful kick, for sure. And what Pereira really needs to look into is that open side body kick. And he's got a great, great kick for that, too. He's got great legs with that. I just had to think for a second about the dynamics of that kind of a matchup. So what I really want to see Pereira from, and he's shown this in the past, like this is normally what we see from him, is that step up outside low kick against a southpaw. Against a southpaw. I'm getting my directions mixed up in my head. So what Jamahal Hill needs to do really is like, It's been a long time since he fought, man. I'm looking at it here. He last fought in 2023, January of 2023. So he's been out over a year. Now, he granted he was in camp against for last month with Anthony Smith. So he should be in good shape, but let's hope he is, because this run Alex Pereira has been on has been insane. He's 36, so he's going to hit a wall eventually, but you know the saying, power's the last thing to go. So Alex Pereira's best weapon, his power, is still going to be here, even if he's slower. Alex Pereira's going to need to find his shots, that left hook, especially when Jamahal Hill, who has horrible footwork, he's going to overextend on a punch. And that's where Pereira's really going to catch him in transition. When that left is overextended, Pereira can get behind his shoulder. And he doesn't do it all the time, but he does occasionally get behind the shoulder and launch that left hook over the top. I also like the left hook to the body for Alex Pereira now. Against the southpaw, the liver's in the front. Okay, and I talk about this ad nauseum, and I don't know if people talk about this, but like we talked about this with Ryan Garcia, to where he targets southpaws, because his brother's a southpaw, so he targets southpaws with the lead hook to the body, and that's a nice punch. And with the liver being right there, it is a very devastating punch, and you can lead to a body shot knockout, the most beautiful of knockouts, body shot knockout. So, left hook to the body for Alex Pereira, the step up outside low kick for Alex Pereira. For Jamahal Hill, let's grind him against the cage. Let's make him tired. Let's punch him in the body. I mean, you don't always have to get the takedown, okay? And you also have to check the leg kicks. That's another thing. But you don't always have to get the takedown. But if you can slow Pereira down, put him in a bad spot to where A, he's getting tired, B, he is not at range to pick you apart, because I strongly believe Alex Pereira striking is going to look much better than Jamahal Hill's. So if you can set up these things and really take the speed away, even if he doesn't have a speed advantage, you take his power away by just pushing him against the cage, hunting for a takedown, chewing up the clock, chewing up minutes, making Pereira use that whizzer, because his go-to against the fence is to use the whizzer. And if you can get it there and just kind of grind him out for the first round or two, avoiding getting caught in a transition, Jamahal Hill can win this fight. And he very well has the capabilities to do this. Granted, he's never attempted a takedown in the UFC. Go look at it, UFCstats.com. Jamahal Hill's never attempted a takedown in the UFC. Crazy. Crazy. He's going to need it here. And he also was like talking about Aspinall, talking about Alex Pereira has power. But what is power? Like, that seems like famous last words, if you ask me. So Jamahal Hill, make it a grindy fight. Make it an ugly fight. Welcome him to 205 proper, like Jan Blachowicz did in their first fight. Now, there, Jan Blachowicz, if you remember properly, Jan Blachowicz capitalized on early mistakes. So Blachowicz is an orthodox fighter, just like Pereira, but Pereira threw a step-up inside low kick. Now, that's not very much different, right? That puts him in prime position for a takedown. The first kick he threw was a step-up inside low kick, and Blachowicz caught it, ran him to the fence, took him to the ground, turned him away for the fence. So if Jamahal Hill finds himself in a position to where he can get Pereira down, A, great, do so. You're going to make him work, make him get tired. It's a five-round fight. He's been five before, but still, make him tired. And if you get him to the ground, turn him away from the fence. Get between him and the fence. We're seeing now, guys, the answer to the wall walk is to take the wall away. How do they do that? They wedge themselves in between the fence, or they turn them away. These fighters are going to have to start getting good at getting up in open space. Pereira is not good at getting up in open space. So if you can take away the wall, you can chew up the minutes, you can land some damage, you can control the fight and control the rounds. It's going to be an incredible fight. I know this is like a preview show and I don't really like doing picks, but man, I have a hard time picking against Alex Pereira in this fight. Jamahal Hill's not shown me anything to where he will adjust his game plan. He usually fights his fight, and his fight is an offense 24/7 type fight. The exact type of fight that Paulo Costa did against Izzy. Granted, these aren't the same type of fighters, but Pereira makes these guys pay. When you want to beat Pereira, if you go look at Artem Vakhitov, Or you look at Izzy when he beat him. Not even really. Izzy didn't really beat him in the same way. But like Artem Vakhitov, he was patient. Kept a high guard. He walked forward. If Jamal Hill hasn't watched the Artem Vakhitov fights, both of them, even though Alex Pereira won the first one, if he hasn't watched those, he's going to lose. Because he's not going to know what to do. He's going to go in there and push the pace the whole time. And that is not the case. So yeah, main event. I'm going Alex Pereira here. He will remain the UFC light heavyweight champion, and they will start aiming for a fight between him and Izzy at 205. That's going to be fun. Co-main event is Zhang Weili, the Chinese champion, versus Zhao Jianyan. Or Yan Zhao Zhan, I'm sorry. First China versus China matchup ever. Now, for martial arts, that's a big deal. Hong Kong movies, I know that's not China proper, but it's still the same similar culture. This is a China versus China fight. The first time in the UFC ever. And for a company that's trying to break into that market, this is the perfect timing for it, right? Let's get everybody on UFC 300. Let's get all the Chinese guys to watch UFC 300. We got Gaethje versus Holloway just before this. Pereira versus Hill after this. Like, this has so many good fights. You want to watch the UFC, don't you, China? That's all it is. That's all it's going to take. I love it. I love this fight. And this is going to be a fun. So, both of them have a Sanda background, but Yan Zhao Zhan has a more of a Sanda background than Zhang Weili. That said, Yan, like, she got this sidekick that's real good, but her wrestling is atrocious. It's god awful. She's got some of the worst wrestling I've ever seen. And I like Yan Zhao Zhan because I've interviewed her twice before, but like if you go look at the Carla Esparza fight, ground and pound, Marina Rodriguez set her apart with the wrestling. Now her win over Mackenzie Dern and Jessica Andrade, fantastic. That win over Andrade was especially fantastic with the first counter right in the first round. So I really do like what I've seen from her, but we've got Zhang Weili, 24-3, two-time champion. She's got wins over Joanna Jędrzejczyk, Jessica Andrade, Carla Esparza. Only person she couldn't beat was Rose Namajunas. And that second fight, awfully close. Whew, I have a hard time, like, picking against Zhang Weili in any fight. I have an easy time picking her in this fight. So, like, if we know the obvious game plan here is Yan Zhao Zhan is not good at wrestling, and Zhang Weili is very good at wrestling. She out-wrestled Carla Esparza. We're going to wrestle, right? She doesn't always do that, though. So, like, against Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Amanda Lemos, it was more of a striking affair just to prove she could. It's kind of like the John Jones thing. I know Zhang Weili can win that fight by striking. I have full confidence in her, but I'd rather see her go out there and just, like, grapple Yan Zhao Zhan and just batter her on the ground. Like, batter, you know? It's one of those fights to where this should be actually a gimme for Zhang Weili. And, I mean, she's a big favorite, obviously, for good reasons, because she's got all the skills it takes to beat Yan Zhao Zhan. This fight's not nearly as intriguing to me as like, the main event or the next one we're going to talk about, Gaethje versus Holloway. But it's still going to be, like, to see Zhang Weili back in action is really what I'm excited for, because she hasn't fought since UFC 292 last August. So it's been a few minutes, but it's not been that long. But it's nice to have her back, you know. I'm excited to see Zhang Weili back. She's just so wholesome. She's just such a happy person. She's funny. She, like, you know, her picking up Shaq and all that. Like, it's cool. It's really cool. I like it. I like it a lot. The BMF title is also on the line. BMF. Justin, I know it's not a real title, guys, but it's a 5-round fight between Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway. The king of violence, Justin Gaethje, and the king of volume, Max Holloway. What wins? The unstoppable force or the immovable object? So, Justin Gaethje, there's a tale of two Justin Gaethjes, okay? There's the Justin Gaethje that really goes out and puts on a really clinical performance. Think like him versus Cowboy Oliveira, him versus Tony Ferguson. Him versus Rafael Fiziev or Dustin Poirier in the most recent fight. Then there's Michael Chandler, Justin Gaethje. Michael Johnson. First Dustin Poirier, the first Eddie Alvarez fight. The brawler. Shot caller. So there's that. And then you have Max Holloway, the switch hitter, the volume puncher. He's not going to hit hard. He's going to hit you a lot and make your life miserable. This fight I talked about a while back, maybe even over a year ago, where I talked about how I don't think it's a good idea for Max Holloway to go up to 155 again, where he took a beating from Dustin Poirier, as close as people seem to think that fight was. He's taken beatings from Volkanovski, especially in that last fight, but he's won two straight. Arnold Allen and Chan Sung Jung. So he's gone from being the young gun to the old savvy vet who knows a lot of tricks. Justin Gaethje, if he sticks to the program that Jason Whitman has for him, I can see him really kind of running away with this fight. Okay, so like Tony Ferguson looked uncrackable on his 12-fight win streak, and he ran up against Justin Gaethje. And to this day, that moment of Justin Gaethje hurting Tony Ferguson and Tony kind of turning his back and limping away from like the low kicks and the punishment he took sticks out in my head. And I fear that's what's going to happen to Max Holloway. So this fight's very, very rough for me because it's like, I love Justin Gaethje. He's such a fun fighter. He's an action fighter. The highlight is like the perfect nickname for him. Mr. 50K is the perfect nickname for him. But I love Max Holloway. I watched him grow up at 18 and I watched him fight Ricardo Lamas throwing down. I watched him dethrone Jose Aldo in a way more convincing than Conor McGregor, believe it or not. I watched him beat Frankie Edgar. I watched his trilogy with Alexander Volkanovski. Watched him fight Poirier. I watched all of Max Holloway's fights. One of the most dynamic strikers there is in the UFC. The best boxer in the UFC, baby. But I think Justin Gaethje gets it done. And I think he hurts Max bad. And it turns out to be one of the points in Max Holloway's career to where it's like, man, he's not the same after this Justin Gaethje fight. He's not. Now, this is a big move on Max Holloway's part because, I mean, the BMF belt nobody cares about. This puts him in the number one spot at lightweight. I mean, he's already in talks, rumors to fight Ilia Topuria, which is a horrible fight. Max doesn't deserve it. Just being fair, with a win over Arnold Allen and Korean Zombie, no. He doesn't deserve it. That said, you know, it's great to see, you know, him taking a chance, him taking a fight, a legacy fight. And that's exactly what this is. That's the same thing he did with Poirier. When him and Poirier fought last, it was a legacy fight. Comes back, he beats Frankie Edgar after that. Then he got the two fights with Volk. But think about it. Like, he's beaten Calvin Kattar, that whole best boxer in UFC. That was in 2021. So that's 3 years ago. That's a while. He's a lot older now. How old is Max Holloway? 32. So he's not that old, but he's old in fight age. He's got a lot of fight miles on him. So yeah, this fight right here, though, this is probably the fight of the night. Like, you can't put two fighters together like Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje and have it be boring. There's no conceivable way that it's boring. No way whatsoever. I think if Gaethje can start low kicking early on. Now, we know Max Holloway can deal with the low kicks. We saw him adjust to the Volkanovski fight style to where it was like, oh, you're going to kick me in the legs? Okay, well, here's the Thai stance, Max Holloway. Now, the third fight, that didn't happen. But, like, the second fight, like, Holloway really did a good job of checking the low kicks. So, depends on what Max Holloway we're going to see. But, if Justin Gaethje can step up to the low kicks, I believe he's a southpaw, so it would have to be a regular kick, especially if Max is a southpaw. But Max changes stances a lot. So, that's something that Holloway is going to have to contend and deal with. But yeah, if Gaethje can stick to that and then work the body and then come up top, so not just like working the body to get you tired, because that's like a fool's errand for Max Holloway. Instead, like, let's go up top after we go to the body, see if we can crack this chin, be another legendary scalp on Justin Gaethje's mantle. Charles Oliveira, Armin Saryukin, it's like a really good fight. This is like one of those fights where I think it's like Armin Saryukin's come out part, like, hey, I'm him. I know I'm late saying that, but I'm him. This is going to be Armin Saryukin's I'm him moment. And that's what the UFC looks for, is I'm him moments. Oliveira just, you know, after he captured the belt, he's just not been active. He got the win over Beneil Dariush, first round knockout last year. And it's been almost a year since he fought again. Obviously, he was supposed to fight Makhachev, and that didn't happen. So, yeah, Armin Saryukin versus Oliveira is a fun fight. Bo Nickel is opening up the main card, fighting Cody Barnes. That should be a wash through for Bo Nickel. just a showcase to like build the number one prospect the UFC has right now, because they're getting beat to the punch. Saladin Parnas is like looking to go to PFL, not the UFC. There was rumors that Bakicham Sudunov, PFL's other French prospect besides Cedric Doumbé, could be coming to the UFC, but that's just rumor and hearsay. PFL probably was going to throw some money at him and lock him up for a long time. Jiří Procházka and Alexander Rakic. Let's see how Rakic looks, because, you know, he had that leg injury in his last fight against Blachowicz. That was in 2022, so it's been 2 years. Goodness gracious. Calvin Kattar versus Aljamain Sterling. Woof. Woof, that's a fight. Sterling making his 145 debut. I like it. I like it a lot. Holly Holm and Kayla Harrison. I have a eerie feeling that Kayla Harrison, who's never really made 135, I don't know if she's... I know she fought an Invicta once, and I don't think that was... Yeah, that was like back when she was 7-0. What was that, though? 140 bout, I believe. Yeah, I was 145 still. Goodness. So she's making a UFC debut against Holly Holm. I have a sneaky suspicion that Kayla Harrison might be, you know, struggling to make weight. That's a perfect opportunity for Holly Holm to, you know, upset, like, turn back the clock, like a Ronda Rousey thing. Be crazy. Oh, my God. We'd have another decade of Holly Holm main events at the Apex. Ugh. But, no, I am excited to see Kayla Harrison in the UFC. I think it was very apparent, like, after last season, like, she did not want to be in PFL. But the contract she had signed said they have matching rights, or whatever somebody matches, we can match it, and we get the contract, like. And she went on Helwani talking about how she was thinking about going, but like beating around the bush. And ultimately she didn't come, but now she finally did. And that was kind of the big announcement that Dana White made for UFC 300. Sadiq Youssef, Diego Lopez. That's going to be a fun fight. Diego Lopez is good fun. So is Sadiq Youssef. Moicano wants money, right? Renato Moicano and Jalen Turner. Jessica Andrade, who's always a load of fun, is fighting Marina Rodriguez. I mean, Marina's good. I don't know if she'll be able to deal with the physicality of Andrade. Then again, Andrade's looked terrible lately, and it's kind of sucked. You know, she's got a win over Dern. Ooh, I forgot about that knockout. But, like, she lost 3 in a row to Tatiana Suarez, who hasn't fought since then, I don't think. Zhao Jianyan got the win, and obviously we talked about that earlier. And then Erin Blanchfield lost there. She kind of, like, jumps around. So, yeah, I like that fight. You know, it's for a women's fight, I enjoy it. Bobby Green is fighting Jim Miller. Jim Miller famously fought on UFC 100 and 200. This could be his retirement fight. That'd be crazy if he gets a win over Bobby Green. Hangs up the gloves at UFC 300. The man, Jim Miller. Oh, my gosh. And then opening up the card, Davison Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt. This is another one of those fights that's like, okay, so Figueiredo just walks at people with his hands down. That's going to be a bad idea against Cody Garbrandt. But Cody Garbrandt has a glass chin. Will Figgy catch him? Who knows? We're going to have to tune in for UFC 300. Headlined by Alex Pereira. His main event against Jamal Hill. It's going to be fun. My film study, we broke down in great detail what makes Jamal Hill. My film study, we made great detail what makes Alex Pereira such a dangerous fighter. I can't talk tonight. And it's out. It's out everywhere. You can go watch it and learn about what makes Alex Pereira such a fantastic fighter, because he's a tough fighter and he has a few things he does well. And he does those well things well, if that makes any sense to you. He's a mean potatoes fighter. He's violent, but he's picky on what he does. And it's going to be a good fight. I'm looking forward to it. I think this is going to be a great fight.